Chapter 4. Kabul. The last time I flew into Afghanistan, things had been very different. We had flown in under cover of night so as to avoid being shot up by the anti-aircraft guns hidden among the craggy rocks of the hills around Kandahar and had to wear body armour for the landing. I remember it like it was yesterday. The tense silence, the blackness outside, the red flashes of light from the RAF Tri-Star Transporter's wings. The acrid smell of sweat from 100 paratroopers, many of them flying into battle for the first time. This time, it was marginally more peaceful. The sun had risen over the appropriately named Dasht-e Margo, the desert of death, as we began our descent, and a pale light shone across the faint undulations of the barren wastes of central Afghanistan. As we got lower, I craned my neck to make out the foothills of the Hindu Kush through the window. I thought for a moment that the entire landscape was covered in snow. Such was the brilliance of the white, rippling sheen beneath us as we descended on Turkish Airlines Flight 455 into Afghanistan's blighted capital. The plane was full of men, Afghans in shiny suits and pointy black shoes, with slick black hair and the almond eyes of the Tajik. These were the wealthy classes, businessmen, diplomats, and economic migrants returning to their homeland. Only a couple of the older men wore beards, the rest were clean-shaven. And suddenly, I felt self-conscious at having grown mine in an attempt to fit in. In my khaki expedition shirt and grey craghoppers trousers, I may have felt ready for action, but I was also, far and away, the scruffiest person on the plane. It wasn't until we were below 3,000 feet that I realised the milky panorama wasn't snow at all. It couldn't be. This was the height of summer. But the distinctive fine hanging dust that envelops everything in this country. From the twig-like poplar trees and the patchwork of mud-brick villages to the rows upon rows of Mi-8 Russian helicopters that were parked in front of the military side to the runway, nothing was immune to this filthy blanket. It was the first week of June and very hot. As the doors of the aeroplane opened, a fierce dry wind blasted through the cabin. It felt like a hairdryer to the face. I prepared to roll up my sleeves and was astounded to see the Afghans actually put their coats and jackets on. Everyone seemed impatient to get off, and the men spilled out of the front doors and down.